Today's shir is Masechta Nidan Daf Chav Dalet. We will begin on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom of the Amud, in the middle of the line with the words Tana Rabbanan. We've learned in a brisa, Hamapeles Guf Otam. If a woman expels, if she aborts, a Guf Otam, which is an incomplete body, Ein Imay Tmeya Leda, then the mother is not Tamei Tumas Leda. It's not considered that she gave birth to a child. It's possible that she would be a nida if dam came out at the same time, or even if she didn't see any dam, according to the shita that mi'efshel psichas hakever b'loy dam, it's impossible that the makam erva opens up and that no dam comes out. Now, the Gemara explains, ve'ezu guf atum, what is considered an incomplete body, which would not have with it tumas leida, Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, k'dei she'inatl melchai v'yomas. If this amount would be taken away from a living person, he would not be able to live, he would not be able to survive, he would die, then that is considered a guf otam, and it's not considered a leida, and there's no tumas leida. V'kami yinatul menachav yomis. How much has to be taken away from a living person that the person should die? We have a three-way machlokes. The first sheet is that of Rav Zakkai. Rav Zakkai says, as we turn to Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, ad har kuva. And here, in all the shittas here, we go ad va'ad b'chlal, up to the knee and including the knee. Above the knee, if the child is born with the above the knee amputated, from the bottom of the foot until above the knee amputated, then that child will not be able to survive. It's not called a viable birth, and there is no tumas leida. In other words, as Rashi explains, if a person would have such a situation, he would be considered a treifa. And this shita goes with the opinion that treifa ain't a chaya, that a treifa cannot live. And therefore, here in the birth, it's not considered a viable birth for tumas leida. Rav Yana disagrees. And he's of the opinion, Adlinikovov, that it's only not a leida, and there is no tumas leida, if what was incomplete is that there was missing up to where urination would take place. In other words, we find by an animal, Rashi brings down in Chulin Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, the place by an animal where the thigh joins the body, and if even when the animal is crouching, one would be able to discern that the limb is missing, it's observed, you're able to see that it's missing, that is considered not a treifa, but a nevela. And even if the animal is living, it looks like it's living, it's considered dead, and it's metame tuma of nevela. So Rashi explains that Rabbi Yana's shita is that treifa is chaya. And therefore, Adar Kuva, which Rav Zakkai said, that's only a treifa, and treifa is chaya. Rather, the correct pshat in Guf Otum is that it's Adlin Akovav. Then it's not a treifa, then it's a nevela. And then it's considered actually mace, and even if it looks like it's living, it's considered mace. A third opinion is that of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, remember Shem Rabbi Yosef ben Yeshua, ad makom tiburei, that it has to be missing up till the navel. And he's of the opinion, he disagrees with Rabbi Yanai, and he says that if it would only be adlin akavav, that is not considered an avail, it's only considered a treifa, and he's of the opinion that treifa is chaya. Therefore, he cannot say the pshat either of Rav Zakkai or Rav Yanai, and therefore he has to come up with a new amount, and that is ad makom tiburei. Then it's considered that it is not a viable birth, and there is no tumas leida. The Chazon Ish in Yoredei Simon Kuf Yud, Sifkot and Yud Gimel points out that we shouldn't make a mistake and learn from these Amoroyim that we've just quoted that in order for tumas leida to take place, the mother has to give birth to a viable child. Vaharaya, that even if the mother gives birth to a stillborn, she still will have tumas leida. However, the definition, says the Chazon Ish, is if another child would have the formation of this body and would be able to survive, then there is a tumas leida. However, since in these conditions that these Amoroi mentioned here, each one, according to his shita, the child, a regular child, would not be able to survive, then that is not considered a viable birth. The Gemara now tells us the difference between these various shitas. Bein Rav Zakkai l'Rabbi Yanai d'chilek between the first shita and the second shita. Ikbenayah, the difference is treifa chaya. Whether a treifa is chaya or not, Mar Sava Rav Yanai holds treifa chaya, and that's why he considers Adar Kuva not to be a chesorin in a viable leda. Because even if it's a treifa could live, and therefore there would be a tumas leido. Umar server and the first sheet, the Rav Zakkai holds treifa einachaya, that Adar Kuva renders it a treifa, and therefore treifa einachaya he holds, and therefore it's not a viable birth, and therefore there's no tumas leido. Bein Rav Yana le Rav Yochanan. Now, what's the chiluk between the second sheet and the third sheet? Ikebenayu to Rav Elazar. The difference will be in that which Rav Elazar said in Chulin Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Dom Rav Elazar, by an animal, nital yerech, if the thigh was taken, v'chalal shalah, and the cavity is discernible, you're able to see the cavity without a limb there, then the halacha is nevela. And even if it seems to be living, b'chayeha, it's already metametumis nevela. So Rav Yanai is of that opinion, and therefore he says this is not a case here of trefa, like Adar Akuva, but rather this is a case of nevela, and it's considered mace, and therefore it is no tumas leda. However, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with that. He doesn't hold it for a blazer. He holds it's not considered a nevela. The only one that is not considered a leda, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the only case is Ad Makom Tiburi, if it's missing. It's amputated from the bottom all the way up to the navel, then that child can't live. And Mimela, in a regular child, as the Chazanish pointed out, the regular child would not be able to survive with such a form, and therefore this form is not considered a leda. It's an incomplete body, and there's no leda, there's no tumas leda. Rashi points out that the machloikas that Rabbi Yanai had with Rav Zakkai, whether treifa chaya or not, is not a machloikas between Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yochanan, because both Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yochanan hold a treifa chaya. That's why Rabbi Yanai holds that Adar Kuv is a treifa and treifa chaya, and Rabbi Yochanan holds the same thing for Adla Nekovav, that it's not a nevela, like Rabbi Lozer said, but rather it's a treifa, and he holds, again, treifa chaya. So that is not the machloikas between Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yochanan, rather the machloikas is, do you hold of Rabbi Lazar Shita that Adlin and Kovav makes it into a nevela or not? Rabbi Yanai says yes, Rabbi Yochanan says no, and the only one that doesn't live is Ad Makom Tiburi. Continues the Gemara, Amra Papa Machloikis, the Machloikis that we just had, the three-way Machloikis, that is Milmato Lamala. What is considered missing from the bottom of the feet till the top in an upward direction? How much has to be missing? Avol malmal lamato. But if we start from the skull and we go down, then everybody agrees that even if a little bit is missing from the skull, it's considered an incomplete body, and it's not a leda, and there's no tumas leda. V'chein amar Rav Gidl amar Rav Yochanan, so said Rav Gidl in the name of Rav Yochanan, hamapelas es shegugolosoi atuma, if a woman aborts a fetus whose skull is incomplete, that's not considered a leda, and the mother has no tumas leda, she is tahira. We just learned that Rav Gidl, Amar Rav Yochanan, spoke about a deformity, eshke gugosai atuma, and now we're going to learn where they spoke about a different deformity. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Gidl, Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Gidl said in the name of Rav Yochanan, hamapeles kimin afkesa dedikla, if a woman aborted a fetus which has the branching of a palm tree, as Rashi explained, just like a palm tree, a tamar has no branches all the way up the trunk. It only has branches at the top. So too, this fetus had no regular limbs, no feet, no arms in their regular position, but rather the feet and the arms all projected out from the shoulders. Imoi tahira, the mother is tahira. This is considered such a abnormally deformed body that it is not considered a regular birth, and therefore it's no leda, there's no tumas leda, the woman is tahira. Continues the Gemara, Itmar, we have learned, hamapelas, if a woman aborts, mishapanav musmasim, a child whose face is smashed slightly, Rashi says that this is not the same as what we're going to soon have in the Gemara. panav tuchais. There it means that it has no form of a face whatsoever. However, here there is a form of a face, but it's smashed. Ktsas, says Rashi. Mu'uchen ktsas. V'loi kol kach kepanav tuchai. Here we have a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rishlagish. Rabbi Yochanan and Amar imoy tmeya. Rabbi Yochanan says that this is considered a birth, and the mother therefore has tumas leida. Rishlagish Amar. Rishlagish says imoy tahara, that it is not considered a birth, and the mother is tar. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan and Rishlagish. Rabbi Yochanan asks the question to Rishlagish from the following brisa. Hamapeles yad chatucha v'regel chatucha. If a woman aborts a cut off hand or a cut off foot, and Rashi earlier on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph tells us that we can see in the hand separate, clear, distinguishable fingers, and in the regal we can see separate toes. And since it has the form of being cut off, we assume that it came from a body. So the halacha is that imoy tmeya leida, that it is considered a birth, and the mother has tumas leida. And Rashi, before on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, explains that we will take the chumra of nekeva and zachar, since we don't know what gender this form belongs to. So we'll say, as far as the yemei tumah that come after a birth, we will take the 14 of a nekeva as opposed to the 7 of a zachar. And then, as far as the yemei toihar are concerned, we will take the 40 days of a zachar and not the 80 days of a nekeva. A nekeva, after the 14 days of tumah, she has 66 days of tahara until the 80th day. And during those 66 days, if she sees dam, it's not considered dam nidus. She's mutter to her husband. Here, since we don't know the gender, we are going to be machmer that we will only give yumei toyer until day 40. And therefore, since the first 14 days are yumei tumah, that leaves 26 days of yumei toyer. And then continues the brisa, v'ein choshishin shema miguf otum bosa. We're not choshish that maybe this cut-off hand or cut-off foot came from a form which was missing. According to the various pshatim that we had at the top of the yomid, what is considered a guf atum, we're not choshish that it came from a guf atum. If it would have come from a guf atum, it wouldn't be a leida. And therefore, any dam that you would see during those 26 days of yemei toyar would not be considered yemei toyar, because there was no leida. Yemei toyar is only after a woman gives birth. But if we don't consider this a birth because we're choshish for guf atum, then that dam would be dam nidus. So we're not choshish for guf atum. Asks Rabbi Yochanan to Rish Lakish v'Misa, if we hold, like you said, that a form that is born with pun of musmasim, a smashed face, the din is that it's not considered a leida, like you say, Rish Lakish, the woman is not tame, tumas leida. If so, listening, it should have said in the brisa, we're not choshe shema miguf atom, oi mimi shepun of musmasim, or from a form that had a face that was smashed in. Why don't we say that also? Is a raya to me, says Rabbi Yochanan, because if we would be choish for pun of musmasin, then in fact it would be a leida. Therefore, the brisa only said guf atum. That is the only thing that we're not choishish for, because if it would be guf atum, would not be a leida. So we're not choish for that. But we don't say we're not choshish for panav musmasim, because panav musmasim, in fact, would be a leida, and there would be tumas leida for the first 14 days. Amar Rapapi, so Rapapi said, ein echanami, because of the question that we just asked on Rish Lakish. In fact, Rish Lakish does not argue with Rabbi Yochanan in that point. Says Rapapi, bepanav musmasim kuli amaloi pligi de tmeya, ein echanami. You have the wrong version of what the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish is in. Ein echanami, in Panav Musmasin, Rish Lakish, of course, is moed to Rabbi Yochanan that it's Tameh, as we brought a raya from the Brisa. Ki pligi, where is there a Machlokes? But Panav Tuchois. As we mentioned before, Rashi told us that Panav Musmasin, when it's smashed, is not like Panav Tuchois. Panav Tuchois is, as Rashi's Lashon is, Divrei Maschil, ki pligi Panav Tuchois, she'ein Tsura behen nikeres lagamri. There is a formless face. You don't see any tzur of a face whatsoever. That's where you have a machloikis. And in fact, it's not like we learned before in the machloikis that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who's metame and Rish Lakish is metayer. Just the opposite. If itmar, Rabbi Yochanan amar imay tahir in this case with panav tuchais, Rish Lakish amar imay tmeya. It's Rish Lakish who says imay tmeya, and Rashi says in Difri Hamaschel ve'ifcha itmar, it's not because there was any reason to make this change that Rabbi Yochanan is the Matar and Rish Lakish is the Matame, but just that's the way the Rav Papi was mekabel it from his Rebbe, that in fact Rabbi Yochanan is the Matar and Rish Lakish is the Matame. Ask the Gemara, v'loiser Rish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan miha, the same type of kasha that we had before in the earlier version of the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, where Rabbi Yochanan used the above brisa to ask a kasha on Rish Lakish. Now that we're learning the Machlokes is in Panav Tuchos, whether it's considered a late or not, why doesn't Rish Lakish use the same brisa to ask a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan? How can you, Rabbi Yochanan, say that Panav Tuchos is not a late? If so, the brisa should have said that when we have a Yad Chatucha or Regel Chatucha, we're not Chayshish, maybe it's from Guf Atom, and we're also not Chayshish, that maybe it's from Panav Tuchos. Elamai, it's a Raya, because Panav Tuchos, in fact, would be Tmeya. That's why the Brisa doesn't say it. So why doesn't Rish Lakish ask that question on Rabbi Yochanan, that you have a Raya to Rish Lakish, that Panav Tuchos is a Leda, and there is a Tumas Leda? Answers the Gemara, because Rish Lakish knew that Rabbi Yochanan has a way out. He has a teretz. Mishum deshani lei. Rabbi Yochanan is able to answer, Hainu guf atam, hainu misha panav tuchais. That guf atam and panav tuchais is the same thing. Really, we'll hold that panav tuchais is not a leida. And there is no tumas leida. Why didn't the Brisa mention it, that we're not choishish for panav tuchais? Because panav tuchais, when there's bechlal no tzura of the face, that's taka considered a guf atam, where there is something totally missing from this body that's in front of us, and that is a tzura of a face. And Rashi points out that we could not give this teretz before, when we were asking in the earlier version, when Rabbi Yochanan was asking on Rish Lakish concerning panav musmasim, because there we can't say, oh, panav mismasim, that's guf atum. It's not guf atum. Guf atum is only when something's totally missing. Here, it's not missing, it's just smashed in. As Rashi says, ma'uchen ktsas, it's a little bit smashed in, but it's not missing entirely. The only thing that's missing entirely is panav tuchos. That, Rabbi Yochanan, in the second version, can answer Rish Lakish, that panav tuchos is guf atum, and that's why there's no kasha on Rabbi Yochanan, according to the second version, from the Brisa. Continues the Gemara, B'nei Rabbi Chiya, the sons of Rabbi Chiya, Nafik Kriyaisa, they went out to the villages. What was the purpose of their going to the villages? So Rashi and Be'ed of Tessama Bey says that they were going to inspect their fields. I have heard also that perhaps the pshat is that they were following in the footsteps of their father Rabbi Chiya, as we find the Gemara in Bava Metzia, the famous Gemara, where Rebbe said concerning the actions of Rabbi Chiya, G'dayla Maisachia, where Rabbi Chiya would go and skin a deer and write on it the Chamisha Chumshei Torah and teach each Chumash to a different child and teach Mishnayis, each Seder Mishnah to a different child, and then they would teach each other. And so he was Marbitz Torah in Klal Yisrael. He made sure that Torah would never be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. So his sons were going to the villages also to be Makar of Yidin, to Lavim Shabbat Shemayim, to learn Torah. This could be a spiritual reason why they went to the villages. Asu lekamed ravu, and they came back to their father, Amar Lahem, he said to them, Klum bo maisel yadchem, when you were there, was there any shiloh that people asked you? Amru loy, they said to him, yes, panav tuchos bol yadenu, we had a shiloh concerning a birth of a child that had the face totally without any form on it, and we had to give a psak whether the woman gave birth, if she had yemei tuma, yemei toyar, viti minua. And we went l'chumra. We said there was also the panav tuchos, as we learned, is a guf atum. It was a suffix what the child was, a zohar and a keva. And therefore, we paskin that it was a leida, l'chumra, and that the woman had to have 14 days, like the birth of a keva, where she is tamei. Amar lahem tzu'u v'tiaru mashe timatem. Go back and change your psak and be matar what you were matame. What was your reasoning that you paskin the way you did? L'chumra. Because you said, let's be safe, and let's paskin like Rish Lakish in the machloikis that we had before between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, the pun of Tuchais, the woman, is Tomei Tomas Leda. So you were going L'chumra, and that she should have 14 days of a Nekeva. Aber chumra da asili de kulahi. This is a chumra which will come to a kula. Why? The kiyavitu law you may toyer. Because if you're going to consider it a leda, that means that even if we're machmer, as we learned before, that you'll only have up to the 40th day for Yemei Toyer, which will give her a total of 26 days of Yemei Toyer, from the end of the 14 days of Tumah to the end of the 40 days in case it was a Zohar. She doesn't get up to the end of the 80 days if it would be in a cave, or Machmer, but you're giving her 26 days of Yemei Toyer. If we don't consider it elated, then that dam that she sees during those 26 days is dam nida, and she'll be usher to her husband. You're making her mutter to her husband, so it's a chumra that comes to a kula. Asked the Ritva, why did Rav Chiya tell his sons to reverse their psak when the logical thing, the way a poysik would have paskin this shaila is that you should also be machmer, that there's no yumei toyer. So you give the woman all the chumras. You give her the chumra of giving birth to a nekeva 14 days of tumas leida. You give her the chumra that she doesn't get any yumei toyer at all because perhaps it's not a leida. So the Ritva answers that Rav Chiya understood that that's what his sons did. He was afraid that there would be people who would hear that there was a psak, that it was a leda, and she has 14 days of tumas leda, and they wouldn't hear that the psak also was that she shouldn't keep yemei toyer. And that's why he said it's better to say that she didn't have tumas leda and that she remains a regular woman who will have her periods of nidus. Continues the Gemara, Itmar, we have learned, Hamapelas, Beria, Shieshla, Beis Gavim, Beis Shedrois, if a woman aborts a creature which has two backs and two spines, Omer Rav said, Rav, Beisha ain't a Vlad. This is not considered a Vlad by Anisha, and there is no Tumas Leda. Bebehema, if a Behema expels such a figure, Aser ba'achila, one is not allowed to eat it. As Rashi says, if you shechted the mother and you found inside the mother such a beria, even though normally, as Rashi further in Divrei Maaseh Mutar Be'achila brings the pasuk in Vayikra Yud Aleph, kol ba'behema teichelu, which Chazal Darshan call hanimtza ba'behema teichelu, that whatever you find inside a mother, once shechita was done on the mother, that shechita is good for whatever is found in the mother. So here, according to Rav, it will be an exception to the rule that if you found such a beria in the mother, it will not become mutter with the shechita of the mother. And Rashi adds, v'kol shechein, if yotzal avira oilam, denefel hu nevela. If it actually was aborted, it came out of the mother, so then it's for sure not permissible, because then it's a nafel, it's not a living being, it's impossible to live in such a situation with such a deformity, and it's considered an avail. However, Shmuel Amar and Shmuel's of the opinion, Be'ishavlat, if a woman gives birth to such a child, it is considered a viable vlad, and there is Tumas Leda. The behema, and concerning a behema, mutter bachila. It's not an exception to the rule. It's part of the rule of kol behema teichelu, kol animtza behema teichelu. But Mike, mifugli, what is the machloikis and Rav and Shmuel? What does it revolve around? Bid Rav Chanan bar Abba, Dam Rav Chanan bar Abba, hashes suah. We find a pasuk in the Torah, in Dvorim, Perik Yudalet, pasuk Zayin. Ach ezel loy toichlu mimale hagera umimafrise haparsa hashesua. There is one animal that you're not allowed to eat from all the animals that bring up their cud, and they do have a split hoof, and that is the shesua. The Torah prohibits it, and Rav Chanan bar Abba says that hashesua, what is the shesua? Beria sheyesh le beis gavenu beis shedrois. It is a creature which has two backs and two spines. So the question is, what is the pasuk referring to when it says Hashesua? Is it referring to when this figure is born, or when it is found in the mother's stomach after Shechita? So Rav Omar, Beria Ba'al Melessa, such a creature is impossible to live, and you will not find it anywhere in the world. So if so, the Torah doesn't have to tell me on a Shesua that's living that it's prohibited, because it can't live. When did the Torah teach Moshe that a Shesua is asur? B'mei imagmeri. The Torah was telling Moshe that this is an exception to the rule. Normally, whatever you find in a mother's stomach is permitted. It goes into the heter of Kola Nimtza Bebehema Tochelu, as Rashi points out from the Gemara in Chulin Daf Samach Tasam Abeis, Ubulvad Sheyiu Loi Parsois Oi Parsa, that it has to have hoofs, or at least one hoof. But this Shesua in the mother's stomach will be an exception to the rule. It's Aser. And certainly Aser, if it's born because it can't live, then it's a Nevela. It's a Nefel. Ushmul Amr, no. Beri Balmeisa. It is possible to find such an animal living in the world with two backs and two spines. V'chi Agmer Rechman Alamayisha Ba'alma Agmeri. When did the Torah say a Shesua should not be eaten? That's the living one that is found someplace in the world. Aval B'mei Masharia. But if it's found while it's in the mother's stomach, then it does go into the klal of kol b'mei metochelu. It's not an exception to the rule. So the machloikis Rav and Shmuel is, where exactly does Rav Chanan bar Abba's definition of shesua bear yeshesh lebeis gavim ubeis shadrois? Where is it speaking? Is it speaking an iser once it's born, but not when it's in the mother's stomach? Or is the iser only when it's in the mother's stomach because it can't be born? That's the machloikis Rav and Shmuel. Continues the Gemara, Eser, Rav Simi Bar Chiya, Rav. Rav Simi Bar Chiya asked the question to Rav. We learned in Bechor Yisraf Mem Gimel Amid Beis, Rav Chanina ben Antignus Oimer, Kol Sheyesh Le Beis Gavim Shei Shedrois. Any creature that has two backs and two spines, Pasul Avoyder, cannot be used for the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash. Alma de Chaye. So we see that it's only for the Avoid in the Beis HaMikdash that it's puzzle, but for a regular person to eat, then it would be okay. Vikasha l'Rav, and this is a question on Rav, and on the side of the Masar Shashas, it says, really, we should say it's Kasha l'Tarvayu. Let us look in the Rashi, Divrei Maskil Rav Chanina ben Antignus, to understand what this Hagov Vikash L'Tarvayu is. So Rashi points out that Rab Chanina ben Antignus in the Gemara in Bechor is speaking about a Bechor, and he's saying that if it has two backs and two spines, it is a mum and it's pasul. But we can deduce, since you're only pasuling it for a korban, so we see that a hedjet it's mutter. If so, Rashi says, which the Masar Shashas alludes to, that Rashi uses the Lashon of Vikash L'Tarvayu. Although Rav Simi Bar Chiya asked this question to Rav, and we'll soon see why he specifically asked it to Rav, it's not only a kasha on Rav, it's a kasha on both Rav and Shmuel. According to Rav, if it has these two backs and two spines, then it's not mutter if it's born because it's an avela, and it's not mutter in the mother's stomach either. According to Shmuel, it's mutter when it's in the mother's stomach, but when it's born, it's not mutter. Here we're speaking about when it's born. So the kasha l'tarvayu, as Rashi says, v'afila yotzel avir oilam shari. Here it says, even if it's born, it's mutter, if it's not a korban. And Shmuel is only mutter when it's inside the mother's stomach. Then Rashi tells us, why did Rav Simi ask the question to Rav more than to Shmuel, if it's a kasha to both? And that's why the Masar Shas says that we're goyris in the Gemara, kasha l'tarvayu, and not kasha l'rav. But why, in fact, did Rav Simi not ask the question to both? The answer is because we find the Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Rav Ikla Lebei Rav Simi Bar Chiya Bar Berei. He came to the home of Rav Simi Bar Chiya, who was his grandson. So since they frequented with each other, they met each other very often. So on one occasion, when Rav Simi Bar Chiya met his grandfather Rav, he asked the question to Rav. But really, as Rashi points out, it's a question to Shmuel also. What did Rav respond? Says the Gemara, Amar Lei Simiat. Is that you, Simi? What does that mean? So Rashi says that we find in a few places, we find here, and in Menachas Daf Kuf Yud, where Rav said that to his grandson, Simiat, and Rashi believes, Nira Be'enai, because since, as we mentioned, he was the grandson of Rav, he used to speak to his grandson in a chaviv, in a loving manner. And that's why he referred to him in such a manner, which we don't find that he spoke to other people like that. Rashi brings a second shot, Vani Shamati, that this was a tznius of Rav. Rav never used to lift up his face. He had his face in the Gemara. He didn't look around to perhaps see Dvorim HaAsurim. And therefore, he used to say to Simi without looking up, "Is that you, Simi?" However, Rashi says, "I don't like this pshat, because we don't find that Rav said that to anybody else. To other people, he spoke directly. If it's because of his tznius, then he should have addressed everyone like that." And finally, Rashi brings a third pshat, that because Simi was a big charif, so this was like sort of a like a sarcastically saying, "Is that you, Simi, the great charif? You have this question? You should have known what the real correct answer is." Rashi doesn't like that pshat either, because when the Gemara refers to Rav Simi who was a Chorev, it's Rav Simi Bar Ashi. Here we're speaking about Rav Simi Bar Chia. There, on Rav Simi Bar Chia, we don't find that he is listed as a great Chorev. So therefore, Rashi remains with his pshat that this was a Derech Chiba, a Chavivus that the grandfather, the Zayda, was showing for his Einikol Rav Simi. What does Rav answer to the question of his Einikol Simi? Shadrasa Yakumo, as Rashi explains, that which Rav Chanina ben Antignoi said, that if you have an animal with two government, two shadrois, it's pasul avoida, you can't bring it as a korban, which is mashma, that it can live, and that a hedged would be able to eat it. It's only a psul as a korban, it's only a mum and a korban. It's not speaking about our Gemara, where it has literally two backs and two spines, but rather it has a curved, a crooked spine, and it looks as if it has two backs and two spines, but in reality, it actually only has one spine. So therefore, such an animal can live, and that's why it's only a psul for a korban. Mashenk and Argumor is speaking about where it literally has two backs and two spines, and there we have the machloikis between Rav and Shmuel, whether the living animal is usur, but the one in the stomach is mutter, or whether both the living and the one in the stomach are prohibited, as is the shita of Rav. Continues the Gemara, Meisei, we're now going to ask a kasha on Shmuel from a brisa. Shmuel's shita was that a shesua is a beria ba'alma. It does exist in the world, and that is what the Torah usurred, an animal that has two backs and two spines. However, b'mei ima, it is permitted. I'll ask you a kasha from a brisa. Yesh be'ubrin, there are fetuses that were just born, shehein asurin, which are prohibited because they're not going to last and survive, and therefore they are usur because of nevela. The first one is ben arbo ledako. A dako is a small animal, such as goats and sheep. The normal pregnancy of these animals, they carry their child for 5 months. If the animal gave birth after 4 months, then that's not a viable birth, and that's considered a nevela, and it's usur b'achila. Ben shmoina legasa, or a large animal such as a cow, the normal pregnancy is like a human being, that of 9 months. If the animal gave birth after 8 months, then again it is considered a nafel, and it is a nevela, and it is usur to eat. The Rambam tells us that if one has a suffix how long the mother was carrying this child, the person should wait for 8 days, and if the animal survives and lives for 8 days, then it is mutter b'shchita. Continues the Braisa, heimenu ulamata usur. If it's less than 4 months by a behema daka, or less than 8 months by a behema gasa, that is also usur. That's also going to be in the vela. And now the Braisa says there's an exception. Yotza mi shiyesh le shnei gabnu shnei shadrois. We are excluding a beria that is born that has two backs and two shoulders. And this phrase is not clear. What are we excluding the animal that has two backs and two spines? My yotza. What is exactly the exclusion? Lav, is it not? Yotza mechlal ubrin. It's different than other newborn fetuses, shafilu b'mei imon asurin. Other fetuses, let's say you'll have a ben arba ledaka, but it's not yotzel avir oilam. It wasn't yet born. You shech the mother and you find it inside, or a ben shmoyna legasa. You shech the mother and you find it inside. So by other ubrin, it'll be mutter, as we learned the pasuk that permits an animal that is found inside a mother. The pasuk says kol bebehema toichelu, and Chazal darshan kol hanimtza bebehema toichelu. So by every other ober, such as ben arba ledaka ben shmoyna legasa, it'll be permitted inside the mother. And these shafil b'mei imon asurin, the ones with the two backs and two spines, are prohibited even in the mother. So that's a kasha on Shmuel, because Shmuel said that it's only usur when it's born, but when it's in the mother's stomach, shnei gavin shnei shedrois is mutter. Says the Gemara, Rav matarz letamei, Shmuel matarz letamei. Rav will answer according to his shita, and Shmuel will answer according to his shita. We have to understand, before we go on, if the question of Meisve was on Shmuel, then why does the Gemara say that Rav will answer to his own shita? Shmuel, of course, has to answer, because the kasha was on Shmuel, but why does Rav have to answer? So Rashi, in Divrei Maskil, Rav Matarz Tameh explains that even according to Rav, we have to do something with this brisa, because the way it appears, we don't understand it. The beginning of the brisa is speaking about a ben arba ledaka ben shmoyna legasa that was yotzel avir oilam. And on that we say that they are usur, and we exclude the ones with shnei gavin shnei shedros. It would seem they're excluded, that they're mutter. That if they are ben arba ledaka ben shmoyna legasa, and they have two backs and two spines, then it appears from the simple reading of the brisa that they are excluded and they are mutter. Rashi says that's impossible. How could they be mutter if they have the deformity of shnei gavin and shnei shedrois, and they're also ben arba ledaka ben shmoyna legasa? So even according to Rav, we have to understand. So Rav will give an explanation by adding some words to the brisa. It'll be understood according to his shita, and Shmuel will also be able to defend himself, and l'shitasoi, according to his shita, he'll also be able to answer the brisa. Says the Gemara, Rav Matarz Tamei, he'll learn the brisa like this: Ben Arbo Ledaka, Ben Ches Legasa, Hemen Olamata Oser, Bamed Vor Mamurim. When was that halacha said? Kishiyotzel Avir Oilam. Here's where we add words to the brisa. When was this halacha said in the Reisha of Ben Arbo Ledaka, Ben Shmoyna Legasa? That's when it was born. Then it's Oser. It was Loi Kalu Chadoshev. It didn't reach 5 months for a Daka and 9 months for a Gasa. Avo B'mei Imoy. But if this Ben Arba L'daka Ben Shmoyna L'gasa was found in the mother's stomach when the mother was Shechted, Shari, then it is permitted because of Kol B'Behema Teichelu. Yotza Mish Yeshli Shnei Gavim Shnei Shadrois Afil B'mei Imoy Nami Oser. And on that, Rav will learn that's the exception, that the Heter of Kol B'Behema Teichelu only applies to the Reisha to Ben Arba L'daka Ben Shmoyna L'gasa. The exception is Shnei Gavin Shnei Shedros, because Rav L'Shitasoi is of the opinion that when it's born, such an animal can't live at all. So when the Torah Asered Shesua, it was Asering even B'Mei Imoy if it has Shnei Gavin and Shnei Shedros. So this is how Rav will understand the Brisa, and it works out perfectly according to Rav Shita. As we turn to Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, U'Shmuel Metarz L'Tamei. And Shmuel will answer the brisa according to his sheet. And Rashi points out that Shmuel is not going to learn like Rav, that the Reish is speaking about when it's born, and the Seif is speaking about that it's lo yotzel avir oilam, you found it b'mei imoy. No, according to Shmuel, both the Reisha concerning ben dalid ledaka and ben ches legasa, that's the Reisha. Both the Reisha and the Seifa concerning the animal with two gabin and two shedrois, both the Reisha and the Sefer are speaking b'shiyotzel avir oilam, that they were born. And the brisa according to Shmuel goes as follows: Ben arbo ledaka ben shmoyna legasa hemenu lamata oser. If it's younger, then it was less than four ledaka or less than eight legasa, so that's certainly also oser. Now here's the words that Shmuel is going to add to the Braisa. When did we say the Reisha? That's b'shaloi kololoi chadashav. That's when it was only 4 instead of 5 by a daka. It was only 8 instead of 9 by a gasa. It didn't have a full-term pregnancy. Avol kololoi chadashav. But if this animal was born after 5 months for a daka or after 9 months for a gasa, then it's mutter because it's a living, viable animal. We're not worried that it's a nafel, that it's an avela. And on this is Yatzah Mishiesh LeBeis Gabnu Beisha Droiz. The Afel Gav de Koloi Chadoshav Im Yatzah Lavroilam Osir. However, B'mei Imoi Shari. So according to Shmuel, the Reish and the Sefer are both speaking about Yatzah Lavroilam, and the Reish is speaking about Loi Koloi Chadoshav. If it would be Koloi Chadoshav and it was born, of course, then it's Mutter to Shachtit. It's not in the Vela, and on that there is an exception that if the animal gave birth to a barrier which has 2 gavim and 2 shedrois, and even if it's kolu chadoshav, however, it is still usur. But Shmuel Ishitosai says that if it would be b'mei imoy, it would be mutter, except the Bryce is not talking about b'mei imoy. The Bryce is speaking about Reisha and Sefer, that it was Yotzalav Roil. Now here, Rashi says an interesting thing. Divrei HaMasechel, the top line, the Afal Gav de Kol Lechadoshav, it's usher by the animal of Shnei Gav and Shnei Shedroish, which we call a Shesua. Says Rashi, why is it usher? Nefel hu, de Lechaye, v'nevela Havi, it's in the Vela. So the Tosfos HaRosh on the right hand column brings the Rashi on the third line. Pirush Rashi Mishum Denefilu Ve'enu Miskayim B'Havik Nevela. So he's bothered with a very obvious question. V'loy Ratzel Lefarish Mishum De'Agamir Rechmano L'Moishe De'Shesua Ba'al Masura. On Amid Aleph, we learned that Shmuel Shita is that Shesua is Usher. It's Xeris Hakosov, that even though it can live, however, it's still prohibited. But when it's in the mother's stomach, it's mutter. The Torah said Shesu is usher, that's when it's living. So why does Rashi over here say that when it's kolu chadoshav and it's born, the Shesua is usher because it's a nevela, it can't survive? Why didn't Rashi say, like we said on Amid Aleph, that this is the Shesua that the Torah prohibited, even if it could survive? So the Tosfos HaRosh explains, the imkein lehavale latana lemisnayu beisura bahade ubrin dasuri mishum nefel. Since the whole brice of ubrin that we had on Amid Aleph concerning Behema Dak and Behema Gasa, that whole Braisa is prohibiting because of the Isser of Nevela. So why would you have this halacha of a Shesua that it's Usser, even of Yatzel Avroilam, because of a Xeris HaKosov that a Shesua is Usser, and not because it's a Nevela? It doesn't fit into the whole theme of the Braisa. Therefore, Rashi was forced to say that in this Braisa, we'll have to learn that the animal is Usser because it's a Nevela, not because it's a Xeris HaKosov that the Torah said Shesua is prohibited. But now the Tosfos HaRosh has another problem. If we see that Shmuel in the Braisa here is holding that the animal with 2 backs and 2 shedrois is prohibited because it can't survive, because it's an avela, then how could Shmuel say that if a woman gives birth to such a child, that it's considered a viable leda? You just told me by an animal it can't survive. V'tzarech loimer, says the Tosfos HaRosh, afal gav d'amar Shmuel b'isha vlad u'miskayem, even though by a person, by a human being, by a woman giving birth, the fetus will survive. But b'behema einoy miskayim. But by an animal, we'll have to say that it will not survive. Continues the Gemara. Tani Tanakha made the Rav. A Tana learned a brice in front of Rav. Hamapeles brias guf sheina chotuch. If a woman aborts a bria of a body which is a shapeless glob, Rashi says it's like a block of wood. It has no limbs, and it's just like a piece of flesh. Or the Braisa continues, ubriyas roish ein chatuch, or a creature which has a round face but it has no features on it, just like a round ball. Yochel te'imay tamei leida, I would think that the mother has tumas leida, that this is called a leida. Talmud Loimer, the pasuk says, isha kis hazri aviyal de zachar, when a woman will have a child and give birth to a zacher. Then ubiyam shmini yimol, on the eighth day should have a bris milah. So I learn out that there's a connection between bris milah and a viable leid. Misha royal bris shmoina, a child that is able to have a bris on his eighth day, that he's viable, that he can live. So then his mother, it's considered that v'yolda, that she gave birth to that zacher. Yatsu elu, however, these that we learned, guf she'en echatach and roi she'en echatach, such fetuses, she'en ro'uil bris shmoina, they are not able to have a bris on the eighth day. They're not going to survive. If they're not going to survive, then just like there's no bris, so too there's no ishik kizazri v'yolda zacher. There's no leda of zacher. So when Rav heard this Tana citing this brisa, Amarle Rav, Rav said, "V'siyim b'hachi, you should conclude the brisa." There's another piece to the brisa. You should conclude it with the following: "U'shiyesh loishnei gabin u'shnei shedrois." That also is like guf shena chatuch and roish shena chatuch. That it is not a viable leida. Rav l'shitasai, that when a woman gives birth to such a fetus, it is not considered a viable child, it won't survive, and therefore there is no tumas leida. So that should be included in the words of the brisa. Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, sovereign lemevet of the Kavaseder Shmuel. Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba had a situation where a woman gave birth to a child who had two backs and two spines, and there was no dam. It was a leida, as Rashi says, yabishta. It was dry. There was no dam. So there's no tumah here of tumas nida, but he wanted to make the woman tumah because Shmuel holds that it's a viable leida, and therefore there would be tumas leida. Amar le Rav Huna, so Rav Huna said to him, "My daita lechumra. Why are you passing like this? Because you want to go lechumra to give her a tumah of tumas leida, but chumra dasli de kulu. This is a chumra which will come to a kula. The kiyavis la demei tayar, because then she's going to have the yemei tayar, that even though she sees dam." Like, and after any leida, there's a zman of tuma, then there's a zman of yemei toyar. So she's going to have yemei toyar, and she'll be mutter to her husband, even though she's seeing dam. So if it's not a leida, the dam that she sees will be dam nida, and she'll be usher to her husband. If you're saying it's a leida, then the dam she sees during those yemei toyar will be mutter, and therefore she'll be mutter to her husband. So it's a chumra that's coming to a kula. What should you do? Avid miyakav say to Rav, you should paskin like Rav. The kaimalon hilchasik Rav bisuri. We paskin the halachas like Rav by Isser, even though the Gemara in Bukhari says that by Mammon, the halacha, when there's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel, is like Shmuel, but by Isurim, when there's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel, the halacha is like Rav. Bein lekula, bein lechumra. You're on safer ground to paskin like Rav, even though in this very case, there will be a kula according to Rav also, because according to Rav, it's not a leida, and there was no dam at the time. And if we hold that it's possible for the makim ha'erva to open up and no dam will come out, efshir l'psichas ha'kavra b'loy dam, so then this woman will be tahar, where later on in the Yemei Toyer will come out of Chumrah, according to Rav, that she didn't have Leda, and if she didn't have Leda, her dam will be dam nidus, and she'll be ushered to her husband. That's a Chumrah. But right now, after the birth, it's a Kula. So why is it better to paskin like Rav over Shmuel? Shmuel has a Chumrah and a Kula, and Rav has a Kula and a Chumrah. The answer is because the Kaimalon Hilchasik Rav Bisuri. Because we have a klal that the halach is always like Rav Bisurim. So therefore, it's not worth now to paskin like Shmuel Chumrah after the Leda, that it's a Tumas Leda by this case of a woman who gave birth to a berry of Shnei Gabin and Shnei Shedrois, because it'll come out to a Kula. It's better to paskin like Rav, because the halach is like Rav Bisurim, Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumrah. Continues Gemara with a new question. Amar Rava, Hare Amru, Isha Yoledes Latisha of Yoledes Lashiva. A woman has a full-term pregnancy for 9 months, but she can also give birth to a viable child after 7 months. So do we say the same thing by an animal? Behema Gasa, Yoledes Latisha. Do we say Yoledes Lashiva? Just like a woman who has the same period of pregnancy as an animal of 9 months, and less than 9 months, the child would be a nafel. But if it's at the 7 month period, it will still be a bar kayam. It will be a viable child. Do I say the same thing exists by a behema that if it's at the end of 7 months, it is viable? Or do we say, oy lo yoldo, that although a woman can give birth to a viable child after 7 months, but a behema cannot? And therefore, if the behema gasa gives birth after 7 months, it'll be a nevela, and one will be usher to eat it. If she can give birth after 7 months like a woman, then it will be a viable birth, and shchita will help, and the behema will be mutter to eat. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, Toshma, come in here, from the braisa that we learned before. We learned that if it is loy kalu chadashim at 4 months for a daka and 8 months for a gasa, that it is a nevela and it's usher to eat. And we also learned heimenu ulamata usher, that if it's less than this period, it's also usher. It's also a nafel, a nevela. It's not a viable birth. So my love, agasa. Don't we say that this is going on agasa, that if it's less than 9 months, 8 months, or even 7 months, anything less than eight, because the Bryce already had said that eight is loikolu, and then it added on heimenu lamata, less even than eight, which would mean seven. And you see from the Bryce that seven would be considered not viable, it would be ostertit. Says the Gemara, loy adaka, when the Bryce was speaking about heimenu lamata, it wasn't going on less than eight, it was going on less than four. Four, we had learned, was loy kalu chadash, was not a full-term pregnancy for a behema daka. And then the Braisa added, hey, menu lamata, less than four, which would mean three is not viable. But perhaps by a behema, seven, just like an isha, it is a viable birth, so too perhaps by a behema also. So the Gemara challenges this. Hi, Mai. How can you say this? E amrat bishlema agasa. If we're going to say that hemenu lamata in the brisa was referring to gasa, so itzrich, then I know why we have to say that halacha. Why we have to add that phrase that hemenu lamata is usher. Salkadat chamin, I would have thought, hoyulu beisha chaya, since by 7 month pregnancy by a woman the child could live, I would have thought bebehemanam chaya. That's why the Bryce had to tell you, Hemenu Lamata is usher, it cannot live, it's an avela, even not only eight, but even less, even seven. El Yamar Dadakit, but if you're going to learn that the phrase Hemenu Lamata is not going on gas, it's going on daka, so Pshita Bas Tlosa Yarchi Miko Chaye, if it's going on daka, so four is Loikolu Chadashim, is an avela. And then the Bryce adds, Hemenu Lamata is also usher, Pshita. Of course, if it's less than four, meaning it's 3 months, of course it can't live. How could something of 3 months live? Says the Gemara, no, it's Rich. Even if it's going on daka, I need it. Salkadatachim, and I would have thought, Kol Botzer Tre Yarchi Chaye. I would have said that even daka, you could make a comparison to an Isha. Just like we see by an Isha, that she's able to give birth to a viable child after 7 months, which is 2 months less than the normal 9 months full pregnancy. So maybe by Behema Daka also, even though full-term pregnancy is only 5 months, but perhaps the Behema Daka could give birth to a viable child after 3 months, which will also be 2 months less than the regular. That's what I would have thought, Kamash Malon, that it can't. But you cannot say that I don't have a chiddush by Behema Daka, because there is a place to compare Behema Daka to a woman, that if it's less than 2 months, whatever the regular period is, less than 2 months, I would have thought would be good, Kamash Malon. So therefore, from the Braisa, we have no riot to the Shiloh. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hamapelas, the most Lilius. Lilius, Rashi says, is a shade which has a face of a person and it has wings. The halacha is, imoy tumela leida, it's considered a viable birth, and the mother has tumas leida. Why? Because I say, vladhu, it's a child. Elish eish leknafayim, it has wings. But we don't say it's a shade. We say it's a viable birth of a child. Tani nami hachi. We learned like this in the Bryce as well. Arm Rav Yaisi said, Rav Yaisi, ma'isa b'simune, there was a story in this place. Ba'acha shehipilu dumus lilis, a woman who gave birth to a form of a demon. Ubo ma'isa l'fnei chachamim, the story came in front of the chachamim. Va'amru, when they said, vladhu, it is a child. Elish leish leknafayim, it has wings. And what about Hamapelas the Mus Nachash, if the woman gives birth aborts a figure that looks like a snake. Hayre Chanina ben Achiv, shell Rabbi Yeshua, Chanina, the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, he paskin that he might tmei later. It's considered a viable birth, and the woman has tumas later. Halach Rabbi Yosef, a sefer dvarim lefnei Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Yosef told over to Rabbi Gamliel the psak of Chanina, the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua. Shalach loi le Rabbi Yeshua, the Masoreh Sashas puts in the lamed that he sent a message to Rabbi Yeshua. Apparently Rabbi Gamliel didn't hold of this psak, and he summoned Rabbi Yeshua and his nephew to come in front of him, and he said to Rabbi Yeshua, Haneig ben Achichuva, lead your nephew and come together with him. I want to discuss this psak of Chanina. Bahali Chosan, as they were going along the way to Rabbi Gamliel, Yotzisa Kalas Chanina, the Masoreh Sashas brings down Rashi's Girsa here, which does not say Rabbi Chanina, leaves out the Reish, which is in parentheses, Yotzisa Kalas Chanina Likrasai, the daughter-in-law of Chanina came out to meet him. Amra Loi, she said to Rabbi Yeshua, the elder Talmud Chacham, she asked him the following question, Rabbi, Hamapelas Kemin Nachashma, what happens if a woman aborts a being that is in the form of a snake? The very question that Rabbi Yeshua and his nephew were going to Rabbi Gamliel to discuss. Amar la, so Rabbi Yeshua responded, Imai Tahara, there is no Tumas Leida. Amra loi, so she said to Rabbi Yeshua, Valoi Mishimcha, Amra li chamaisi, my mother-in-law told me in your name that Imai Tumea, that it is a Leida, and the mother has Tumas Leida. Amar la, and Rabbi Yeshua said to the daughter-in-law of Chanina, Me'ezetam, what was the reason that your mother-in-law said why I paskin that it is a Leida and that there's Tumas Leida? And she responded, because Hoyel, the Galgal Einai Ogul Kishaladim, the circle of the eye of this form that looks like a Nachash is the same roundness as that of a person, and therefore you considered it a viable Leida, and there was Tumas Leida. Mitoich Dvarea Niska Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua, when he heard the reason, he remembered that it's true that he had paskin that it is a leida and it's tmeya. He forgot his own psak. Sholach Rabbi Gamliel, he sent a message to Rabbi Gamliel, Mipi hoira Chanina, don't be upset at Chanina for his psak, because he was saying over the psak that I originally had said. I forgot my own psak. Amar Abaye said, Abaye, Shmami no, we learn from this story, Tzur Mermit Rabbana, Tamat Chacham, the Amar Milsa, when he says something, Lema Bataima, he should give a reason with it. Why? Dechi Matker Le Matker, because by giving a reason, in case he forgets his psak, but once he hears his reason, the reason itself will prompt him to remember that in fact he had paskin on the basis of that reason. So it's always important to say a reason when you give up psak, so that people should remember the reason and be able to remind you in case you forgot. Begins the new mission in Hamapela Shvir. Moli Mayim, a Shvir is an embryo. This is the skin in which the fetus develops. So if all that there was within the skin was water, or Moli Dam, or was full of blood, or Moli Gavnanim, or it was full of multicolored liquid, she does not have to be concerned that she gave birth to a Vlad. There's no Tumas Leida. V'im hoyom erukum, however, if the limbs began to take shape, in other words, the embryo was developing, then already we're choshish for a Leida. We don't know the gender, teishav lezacher, ulin nekeva. Then she has to be machmer, as we've had before, that perhaps it was in the cave and therefore she has Yemei Tumah after the Leida of 14 days. Perhaps it was a Zohar and therefore the Yemei Toihar end at day 40, and therefore she would only have 26 days in this case of Yemei Toihar, where dam that she sees does not make her a nida and she's mutter to her husband. So she takes the chumras of both a Zohar and a Nekeva. Hamapela sandal. If a woman aborts a sandal, Rashi says that we have a rule. Ein sandal believe lot. A sandal is a flattened, deformed fetus, which is called a sandal either Rashi Shita because there is a fish that it resembles whose name is sandal, or the Rambam Shita that sandal means a sandal and the flattened face looks like a sandal. And the Mishnah is going to say that for this second flattened child, we have to be machmer for Zohar and the Keva. As Rashi explains, there's always a twin that's being born with the sandal. And the twin, in fact, was the one that flattened the sandal's face. And we don't know whether the sandal is a Zohar and a Nekeva. So if the other twin was a Nekeva, then there's nothing to be machmer on. Then the days of the Zohar, the Tumah days of 7, and the Tayar days of 33 are Muvla. They are all absorbed within the 14 days of Tumah for a Nekeva, and the 66 days of Tayar when a woman gives birth to a Nekeva. So on that, the Mishnah would not be speaking. The Mishnah is speaking when the other twin is a Zohar. So now we have to be machmer that perhaps a Nekeva was the sandal, and therefore it is 14 days of Tumah required, but perhaps the sandal was not a Nekeva, it was only a Zohar, and therefore there will not be the Yemei Toyar of 66 days. There'll only be the Yemei Toyar up to day 40, minus the 14 days of Tumah, which will leave the 26 days of Yemei Toyar. So the case of Zohar and the Keva that we're choishish for by a sandal is where the other twin was a Zohar. Oy, Shilya, or she aborted the afterbirth, the placenta, and we also have a rule that Ein Shilya B'loi V'lah, that even though we don't see the fetus inside the placenta, we have to say that the fetus got nimuach, it got disintegrated, and now it became liquid, and we don't notice it. However, we say that there definitely was a fetus here, and therefore, again, we don't know the gender of this fetus, whether it's Zohar Nekeva, and therefore the Mishnah says, Teishul Zohar Nekeva, you have to be machmer, the chumras of a birth of a Zohar and of a Nekeva. Begins the Gemara, Bishloim Adamu Mayim Loiklumhi. If the embryo is full of water or blood, we understand that there was no viable child here because there's only blood or water. But if it's colors, so why aren't we chayish shem of vlad haviv anymore? Maybe there was a child here and it disintegrated, and that's why we have the multicolors. Amar Abaya, says Abaya, kama yayin chay shasas imoy shel zeh shenimuach ubra b'toch me'eho. How much wine, live wine, raw wine, would the mother have to drink in order to disintegrate the uber, which is in her stomach? In other words, Rashi says this is Lashon Guzma. It's an exaggerated way of saying that if we see in front of us these multicolors, if that's what is now present in front of us, we cannot suspect that it was a fetus that got disintegrated, because there's no amount of wine that this woman would have to drink in order to cause her fetus to disintegrate, and therefore we're not choshish for it. Rava Amar Moleitnan. He says in the Mishnah, we state the word mole, hamapelish shvir mole mayim, mole dam, mole genunim, that it's full up to the top. And if there would have been a fetus here that disintegrated, v'im isa itmuchi itmach, mechser chaser, then it wouldn't have been possible to be full to the top. If we see it's full to the top with these multicolors, then it couldn't have been that it had the hard substance of the beginning of formation of bones, because when those would have disintegrated it, it would not have filled up to the top. The harder substances of bones and sinews all take up more space, and when they disintegrate, they cause that the embryo would not be full of liquid to the top. And if it's full of liquid to the top, that's a proof that there was no fetus here that disintegrated. Rav Ada bar Avramer, gavonim tnan, ve'im isa de etmuche yitmach, kula b'chara gavna havikoi. It says in the Mishnah plural that there were many colors. And if there was a fetus that disintegrated, it would have disintegrated all into one color and not many colors. If there's many colors, that's a proof that there was no fetus here. Now that we mentioned the guzma of how much raw wine would this woman have to drink in order to disintegrate her fetus, we discuss something about wine. Tanya Abishol, I remember Shaw said, Kaiver Mace Misi, I used to bury the dead. I would look at the bones of the deceased, and I would see the following. I made the following observation. Hashaitza yayin chai, one who in his life would drink raw wine, undiluted wine, atzmaisus ruf, and his bones would be burnt. Mazig, if the wine was very diluted, then atzmaisus chulyin, which means his bones would be dry. But if it was diluted properly, karoi, then atzmaisus meshuchin, then his bones were very well lubricated. V'chol mishesh tiyasim merubim achilasai, whoever used to drink more than his food, than what he ate, atzmaisus ruf, and his bones were burnt. Achilasai merubim shtiyasai, if he used to eat more than he drank, atzmaisus chulyin, then his bones were dry. Karoi, if he had the right proportion of food to drink, then atzmais of meshuchin, then his bones were properly lubricated. And these are all the things that Abishol saw in his profession of burying the dead.